this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
Madwoman!
Hey, Madwoman, it's time!
Come on, we got a podcast!
Hurry up!
She's brooding because Matt Smith's era is going to be done in a few days.
Is that why she won't come out?
She's pining and whining and pondering and broody and moody and sad and wow, you know.
I guess we won't see her until the premiere of the new season next week, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, she likes Peter Capaldi, but she's just sad, and I can understand that because my doctor's time was over after I met him.
Well, I remember Fireplace Girl going through the same thing.
Yeah, only
Lieutenant finished.
Mad Woman goes through things in much grander scale.
Yes.
Ah, well. Okay, so let's get back.
It's just us.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the console room. Ow! What? Ow! What is this I'm stepping on?
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the Lego store.
What? Lego pink?
Yeah, some new pieces.
Pink and purple
The colors aren't particularly new, but those new pieces.
Wow, black and clear, oh my. And
well, you can see I got those from the Pick-A-Brick. And if you ever notice, the new pieces in the Pick-A-Brick generally reflect what new sets are out.
Oh, okay.
Because like when they got the new friend sets that they got now, they're the girl sets.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we have pinks and purples.
Oh.
And so the pieces in those sets tend to end up in the Pick-A-Brick.
I thought the pink and the purple were for like those My Little Pony episodes you've been sneaking in on.
Unfortunately, Lego doesn't have a contract with My Little Pony.
Watching on the console. I don't think I didn't
notice
that.
Hey, maybe I came up with some sets.
You are such a brony.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Well, you know, they do tend to listen to the fans. So we'll be talking about that later.
Okay.
And for our new and our old listeners, I am the Time Siren.
And I'm the Awful Husband.
Adult fan of Lego.
Yes.
And
or I guess for this episode, you can call me by my pony name.
What is your pony name?
Oh, it's a Tail Weaver. Tail, T-A-L-E, because I'm a rider.
Oh, I like that.
I like Tail Weaver.
Are we going to have to start calling you that from now on?
Oh, just for this episode, or if I keep getting into more of My Little Pony. My Little Pony had a marathon 2 weeks ago. I'm still watching the episode.
You are such a brony.
Yes.
I am married to a brony. Okay, so what is tattooed on your butt?
Oh, it's a quill over a piece of paper.
Ah!
Again, I'm a writer.
Mine would be a dragonfly.
You know, like A.K. Yearling, you know, the one who wrote the Daring Do series?
Oh, yeah, okay. Right. You definitely have to watch MLP to find out what that is.
Yes.
So, I guess we better get started here.
Ooh, she was a bad guy.
And so are we! Yes, here we are. It's still hot in the Chatsworth room. It's why I've been wandering around trying to find Madwoman in the Arctic corridors.
Oh, that's why she's staying there.
Yes, in the
She's trying to make us think she's pining.
The North Polar Elliptical of the TARDIS. Yes. Trying to cool off. It's not working. I think she's sulking somewhere in a room.
We have to find another ice sun.
Yes. Yes, we do. Okay, well, first thing up is, it's actually a bit of sad news. The entire world knows by now that Robin Williams passed away, and we are of the generation that grew up with him, and it was sad, and it was devastating, but later the news was released that his wife had announced that he had gotten a diagnosis of Parkinson's.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm of mixed feelings about this. I know there's been some really disgusting threads on the net where people were saying he's going to burn in hell and that he's a coward. And I actually think it takes a lot of guts to commit suicide because I would cling to life too, but I think it's a very scary thing.
To cling to life, but
yeah.
When your suffering gets so bad that you can't take it,
There's a quality of life that
yeah.
we all want to maintain.
And I don't think people who have not been there can understand that.
Yeah, I don't think they have. I think maybe he could have chosen a better place than the place he did from what I understood of how his family found him. But still, yeah, there's a quality of life issue. And when it really comes down to it, and all these people that yell they want quality of life, when someone actually exercises that right, and then they turn around and say, oh, that was so cowardly, or oh, you're going to hell. We don't even know if he was a Christian, people. So how can you know what his belief was, whether he believed he was going or not? Yeah. Anyway, it's sad. And taking care of people, and I've seen people in deteriorative conditions very similar to that. I can understand, you know.
Well, he also suffered from depression. It's not just like Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's in addition.
No, Parkinson's.
Parkinson's, sorry.
Yeah.
Parkinson's. Was in addition to what he already had, which clinical depression.
And people who have Parkinson's, there had somebody on the news who said, yeah, Parkinson's alone will give you depression. So he had it on top of it. He really literally may not have been in his right mind when he made the decision to take his life. So we don't know. Don't judge out there. Be nice, okay? His family's devastated. And do you see the disgusting thing CNN was doing?
Yes, I did.
Yes, having a 24-hour cam on his camera on his home.
Yeah.
I am going to tweet CNN and say some very nasty things.
And right underneath was a tweet from his daughter asking for privacy at this time.
You know, that's kind of weird, showing both.
Yeah.
That kind of made no sense. But I hope they've put that thing away.
What is CNN expecting to see? Why have the picture of his home?
I don't know, but it really is. I mean, it's very distressing to the people who loved and respected him, and to his family. CNN, just knock it off, okay? You're being... This is why paparazzi stalking is starting to become against the law. It's against the law to do it to kids of stars. Come on. Let's just pass an overall law to have some respect for people in mourning.
Again, what are you expecting to see?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, head down shots of people walking in and out. That's real news.
Yeah, no. It's like during earthquakes. Oh, we're reporting. We have nothing to report.
Yeah.
Okay. So, on to other news. Tickets are on sale through Fandango for the Doctor Who premiere. And I got a problem with this. The fact it's on a Monday night. I'm not going to be able to take it off. A lot of people work a graveyard or an evening shift and can't take it off. Fandango, BBC, what the heck are you thinking?
Well, here's my problem with it. I mean, it still airs on Saturday. And so when they did the 50th anniversary special, it's simulcast. That made sense.
Yep.
So everybody, if you could, you want to go see the theater.
Yep.
But if you saw it Saturday, that's going to take a lot of the oomph of people wanting to go on a Monday to see it. So I don't see that they're going to get a whole lot of ticket sales.
You know.
Not compared to the 50th anniversary.
In the words of the English, they cocked this one up.
Yeah.
They really did.
If you're going to do it a simulcast, that makes it special.
Yeah. I don't know. This sounds like they kind of slapped it together at the last minute. Yeah. Or gave Fandango the rights to do it. And Fandango pulled a stupid attack here, as far as, you know, I can tell.
Yeah, why go to the theater to see something you just saw 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Especially when so many people have, you know, big screen TVs now.
Yeah, they're mismanaging this pretty badly. So, hey, you know, we didn't have an episode last week, but we did Art of the TARDIS the day before we would have podcast, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it.
That's true.
They had...
Which is that Clockwork Couture.
Yes, in Burbank.
Yes.
Fantastic turnout. I talked to Donna. 800 people showed
that up. That was awesome.
It was really crowded and busy and fantastic.
Yes.
Yes. And the highlight for us sitting at the table was that Will Wheaton stopped by and he was looking at the vendors. He had on a kilt.
Yeah.
And it was a professional one. It was a Utilikilt, which is an awesome company. And I did not get a chance to look at his legs, which is a shame because every time I see a guy in a kilt, I have to look at his legs. And he had this tattoo of a squid on his left forearm that was big. It was like from the elbow down to his wrist.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. I was away from the table at the time.
Yeah, it was neat. And if you want to go to the Facebook fan page to see pictures, right now they've changed their masthead. It shows Will Wheaton and John Barrowman next to the TARDIS in front of the store.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool. I guess Barrowman, well, he was going to be on an episode, and I happened to see this like 2 days after the episode aired.
Yeah.
So I couldn't catch it.
The episode of?
His show.
Will Wheaton's project.
The Will Wheaton Project. So you could probably go on YouTube and see it. But they're like a natural team. I think they would probably work really well off of each other. They were just
well, Barrowman is just a cool guy, and he responds well to the fans and all that. And Wheaton is a fan. He's a fanboy.
Yeah, it was so cute because the vendor next to us, Kit Cameo, she had this really cool merchandise Mostly she does like snowflake designs, which are really elaborate. And she had these vinyl decals like you see on the back of cars. And I got a couple of TARDISes, or what do you, TARDI? Is that the plural for it? And I got a couple for our car, and Will looked over and started squeeing at her stuff. It was so cute. I loved it. It was like, fanboy mode! Yes, you really are one. So cute. So he was there. I think his wife was there, too. She was dragging along this bag that looked like the front of the TARDIS, and it was as big as those ones that they give out at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think it was a Comic-Con TARDIS.
Yeah, it was.
Bag.
Yeah, it was really cool looking. So it was fun. There were vendors of a lot of different stuff.
Oh, and the TARDIS console from the Doctor Who, the Eighth Doctor.
The Eighth Doctor was there along with Daphne Ashbrook.
Yeah.
Who was posing with it. And it was really neat because they're fostering cats right now at Clockwork Couture, Mom and her kittens. And there was a vendor who volunteered to raise money for them by selling stories written on an old typewriter, a manual one back from, what was it, the
1941 or something like that.
And he would write you a one-page adventure. You just give him which doctor, companions, and situation you wanted, and he was busy the entire time. He did.
Yeah, he'd ask you like a couple of questions like, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Yeah. You have cats or dogs or whatever. And he kind of all incorporate that into a story.
Yeah, and it was wonderful. He was busy nonstop. He did at least 20, 25 stories.
Yeah.
At $20 a pop for the kittens, and that was really nice. So
I've never seen anybody do that. Just write stories on the
fly
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was having a lot of fun. I guess he writes professionally, and it was just fun to see people's enthusiasm when they would pick up their stories, and just the whole thing was, you know, really nice of him to do. And I know the owner Donna was really pleased with him being there, I think. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Clockwork Couture, this past Saturday, which would be yesterday in our time stream, a few days later or earlier from the time you hear this, we had our Doctor Who bracelet making class. Peyote Stitch bracelets. Madwoman and I taught the technique to some people that had signed up online at their website, at Clockwork's website, and signed up at our table, and they made a Police Public Call Box Peyote Stitch bracelet. And we had a good time. It was air conditioned. That's always good. And
it was still pretty hot. Yeah, sorry.
We were there about 4 hours. We actually, you know, we had a lot of fun. They made a lot of headway. And I really, you know, it was fun to teach. I really enjoy it.
That's good.
So we're going to have future classes. We're doing different crafts. I do want to go back and do some parasols. Clockwork Couture is actually planning a Halloween event. In, I think it's later September, about mid-September or so. I think it was about a month from the Art of the TARDIS. And I want to make some spooky Halloween parasols to take. So that's going to be fun. So we'll keep you up on that. And let's see, what else have we got next here? Oh, the local Lossless. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I've been kind of busy. I haven't had a chance. We haven't really podcast since I talked to this person. But heads up, you customers out there, you local peeps. I have a contact information for someone who wants an Aunt Beru costume from Star Wars.
Ooh.
So, if you would like to make this lady's costume, just email us at time_siren on Twitter or time-siren@corsairs-closet.com. And if you are listening to this at the website, the contact information is there under the contact tab. You can also send us a message through our Corsair's Closet Facebook fan page. And we will give you her info or give your info to her and hook you guys up. She's willing to pay. So, hey, it's a good little income bit here. And she's a nice lady. So, come and help this gal. So.
And have your work shown.
Yes, and show off your work and you get a good referral for have her as a recommendation of your work and for your portfolio. So, you know what? I think the rest of the topics are for you, awful husband. So, I'm going to sit back, kick back with my icy here. I hope it's one of those super freeze cold blasts from regular show that's going to freeze my entire body.
Oh, the big ice cubes?
Yes. Yes, the ice cubed.
Well, I have to go shrink down and go into your brain.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Okay. So let it rip. What is this about Lego Wall-E?
Oh, okay. Lego Wall-E. Well, first of all, we were talking about the Lego Ghostbusters Ecto-1, which I now have in my possession. I haven't built yet, but I'll probably build it Labor Day weekend, so I'll report on that.
You had a fight on trying to get that, too.
They were out like 2 times that I went to get this.
Hmm.
And I finally had to wait till they got a new shipment in to get these. This and the...
Insanely popular.
It's insanely popular. And the DeLorean for Back to the Future. I haven't gotten that one yet, but that was also sold out.
Hmm.
So I finally got it. It's 508 pieces. It was $59.95. And it's a great model. It's got the four guys in it. It's the Ecto-1 from the original movie, which, by the way, is celebrating its 30th anniversary.
Oh, it says that on the box, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
I didn't think it was that old, because I still remember it so well.
Oh, I love the Egon. He's got glasses. I had a thing for Egon. Boy, the nerds. I tell you, the smart guys, that's who I go for.
Well, they don't have Janine in here. And well, especially from the cartoon, Janine and Egon. Talk about shipping. I would ship those two, but that was kind of obvious.
Yeah.
I always wanted to see them get together.
Yeah.
But the way that the Ghostbuster Ecto-1 came about was from the Lego Ideas program.
Oh, what's that?
And that's an idea. That's a program where anybody can go online. It's www.ideas.lego.com.
Oh, cool.
If you have a model you've built, you can build it in real bricks, or you can build it virtually in your Lego factory online.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, it's endless bricks and endless, pieces that you may not have in person. But once you build your model, either real or virtually, take a picture of it, and you can submit it. And if enough people support it, then the Lego company actually starts considering it as a real model.
So that's what happened with this
one? That's what happened to this. Because people have been building the Ecto-1 and the DeLorean for years. And if you go to the brick journals, the magazines like that, you'll see many pictures of this.
Yeah.
And the DeLorean. Most people build the DeLorean a little bit bigger, like mini scale size at Legoland. The one they have is mini figure size. Because it fits in with all the other models.
Figures,
they have.
Yeah, nice.
And that one comes with Doc Brown and Marty McFly.
That's great.
So, but anyway, the thing is, one of the models up on Lego Ideas right now is Wall-E from the movie Wall-E, the Disney movie, Disney Pixar movie.
Oh.
And if I just read a little blurb here, Angus McLean, the lead animator of Pixar's Wall-E movie, started his Lego Wall-E build in 2005, around the same time the computer model was being created. McLean finished his work in 2008, and thanks to Lego's Idea program, where anyone can submit an idea for Lego kits to be considered by the company, he submitted his project for consideration in 2013.
Cool.
I think they have a year to build up enough votes, and if you get 10,000 supporters, then the company considers it as a real set.
Nice.
So that's where it's heading for right now. If it gets to 10,000, which I think is very close now, it will be considered. So when they consider it, they look at your model. They see maybe if they can tweak it to make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
The one he has here looks to be about 7 inches tall.
Oh.
His little head's, all the way out.
Yeah.
So, and look, he even has his little cockroach friend.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah.
So there was a larger model of this, of a Wall-E, at Comic-Con a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Done by one of the guys from Brick Journal.
Oh, nice.
But that was maybe about a foot tall. This is about 7 inches tall.
Uh-huh.
So, but this is the one they're considering now.
Nice.
And
nice.
Again, you can go, and that's, and we were talking about the Lego Interior TARDIS.
Yeah.
The console that's also under consideration.
Yes.
So go to Lego Ideas and vote for this, vote for the console.
Yay!
Or vote for any of the other ones you want to see.
Please, definitely, vote for it. Vote for it now. Vote for it often.
But Lego is really in tune with its supporters, its fans.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And, this is not just a toy. There are lots of Lego alphas like me, adult fans. And they're the ones who are creating these things now. And the Lego company is listening.
Yeah, that's...
Lego also has what they call their ambassador program,
uh-huh.
Which they click into Lego fans, adult fans, on the internet community,
yeah.
And they see what they want and what they're interested in seeing.
Boy, I wish government would do that.
Really? Yeah, exactly. They're more in tune with their fans than your senators are probably in tune with you.
Definitely.
Well, that's what keeps them going. I mean, that's what keeps them going. Not just as a kid's toy, but as a building toy.
Yeah.
it's amazing how much has grown.
Yeah.
Lego's done international. There are six Legolands now around the world.
Oh, boy.
The latest one being in Malaysia.
And you want to go to all of them.
Someday I will do my Legoland tour.
Yay.
Worldwide tour.
Worldwide tour. Go for it.
At least got the Legoland California one down.
Yes. Yes, that's a start.
Pitch, by the way, a co-worker of mine is going to tomorrow. Well, actually today. She's going to 2 days. I was telling her that they have a Legoland movie set there at the park right now.
Oh.
So she was excited about
cool.
that.
Very cool.
Oh, they're also experimenting with something. I don't know if they have it at our park here in California yet, but they're working on an app that when you click into the app, it tells you the wait time of all the lines of all the rides and attractions in the park.
Wow.
So they don't have a fast pass, but you can tell which line is short at that any given time.
Hey, that's just as useful as far, you know, I think. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yes, pretty much. So
what else did I have?
We've exhausted the Lego here, which is hard to do in this house, believe you me.
There's never enough Lego.
No, there's never enough Lego, and lately there's never been enough ponies.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, it all started. I mean, I've been aware of My Little Pony for a while, and people say it was a good show, so I would check out one or two episodes online.
Yeah.
But then our friend Krista, who does Lady Loki, showed me a clip where Weird Al had done an episode of My Little Pony.
He's been ponified.
We talked about how he's an evil pony and all that, because he took away Pinkie Pie's thunder and all that. But so I started watching it. And on Saturdays, they usually play 3 episodes, 1 new one and 2 older ones. And then recently, the first week of August, they played a marathon, where they played all 81 episodes.
A marathon.
A marathon.
M-A-R-E. Marathon.
But the show was actually very well written. I was very surprised.
We watched an episode tonight that actually had a beautiful song with it.
Yes, Winter Wrap-Up.
Yes. It was actually very pretty.
Same title of the show as the song.
Yeah.
But when they do a musical production, they really go all out.
Yeah, they do. That was really nice.
I mean, sometimes, like, regular show will have a musical piece, but it's nice, but it's not, like, fully orchestrated like this thing.
No.
I mean, you have all 6 characters
orchestrated,
singing.
Orchestrated, choreographed!
You have all 6 characters singing,
yeah.
And I think 3 of the ponies have a separate person who does their singing voice.
Uh-huh.
And others, I think Tara Strong has her own voice, who does Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah.
And then they have the chorus of all the background ponies and all this. So they really go out with the songs. When they do a song in an episode, they've had like a whole musical episodes.
Yeah.
You know, like the one with Weird Al. He wrote 5 or 6 songs for that.
Yes, Mr. Cheese Sandwich Butt.
Yes. But yeah. Now I understand why there's so many bronies.
Bronies!
And there have been at least 2 brony cons I know of that I think are in Chicago.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Yes.
And, you know,
I can see where our budget's going.
They have panels at Comic-Con. In fact, this last Comic-Con, they announced season 5. They'll be coming out early next year.
There's much brony rejoicing.
Yes. And they've announced that one of the episodes, Twilight Sparkle, will be mourning the loss of her library. So I guess something's going to happen to her library.
Ah.
But she's a princess now, so she's going to get a new home.
I have not seen this episode
and
yet.
And they will have a special 100th anniversary episode, which will feature a lot of the minor characters, the background characters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting.
Wow. Oh, well, she's a princess. Then she's on the level of Princess Celestia, then.
Yeah. Princess Celestia and her sister Luna.
And Luna. Yes. Yeah. Oh, we saw the episode. What was it? It was their Halloween special.
Yes.
What was it called? The Nightmare Night or something like that.
Oh, okay, I forgot. But yeah, something like
it's,
that.
Yeah, and I actually really love Princess Luna because I'm a nut for the moon, and she has this most beautiful iridescent sparkling mane. Ah, just so gorgeous. And the way she's drawn and everything, I love it.
Well, if you're not familiar with the mythos, Princess Luna was Nightmare Moon for a while, at the very beginning, and she was an evil pony, and she was jealous of her sister, because her sister, Princess Celestia, raises the sun in the morning, and everybody loves the sun in the day, but everybody goes to sleep at night, so she doesn't feel like she's appreciated, but at the end, she repented, and now she's a good pony, but because she was trapped in the moon for 1,000 years, she doesn't know how to relate.
She's not really very social.
No, she doesn't know how to relate to other
ponies. She needs social
potty
training, yes. But in fact, I think that might have been the name of the episode, Nightmare Moon.
I think that, yeah.
It's I love that freaking pony. If I was a pony, I would be Nightmare Moon. But also, if I was just a regular pony, I would have a dragonfly tattooed on my butt. Or maybe three of them.
Well, you know, that would be a good costume. If you go to Google Images and you look at My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, you don't only get images of the ponies, but you get images of people who have done cosplay.
Oh, cool.
And it's not like they're trying to look like a pony, but they have the same color scheme in their clothing.
Uh-huh.
So they're playing that kind of character.
Nice.
So you could do a Luna. That'd be great.
Yeah. Ooh, pretty, pretty. Don't give me ideas. I'm still saving up enough money to get my black scleral lenses. Oh, boy, is that going to be fun. We're going to have a blow-by-blow on that. Yeah, that would be really cool, and I could see doing that. Maybe even with my current clothing, because she is black with blue, and the costume that I picked for my Death Goddess has black and blue in it. So I see possibilities there. Mm-hmm. Okay, this could be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, another thing. If you go to Facebook,
yeah,
look up Double Rain Bloom. Not Boom, Bloom, B-L-O-O-M.
Uh-huh.
Because what I found out was there is a student, I forgot if he's a animation student or an art student in Georgia.
Yeah.
And he has put together his own half-hour episode.
Really?
Of My Little Pony.
Wow.
And if you go to his Facebook page, you see all the characters designs and the virtual maquettes, I don't know what they call them, but it's a whole page of how the ponies, each pony, you know, each page is a separate pony.
Uh-huh.
And it's from every angle, and there's like 10 pictures of every of the
eye. Character studies. Yeah, character studies. Every position.
So how the eyes open and close, how the mouth opens and close, create different words and sounds.
Wow.
He's done this whole study. He got his own voice actors, and he did his own half-hour episode.
Nice. And you said it's called Double
Rain Bloom.
R-A-I-N-B-L-O-O-M.
Yeah. It's like Double Sonic Bloom.
Oh, Sonic Bloom. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's from an episode, Sonic Bloom, that I think was first season.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll put the link up for that in the show notes.
Yeah. I've only seen, like, the first 35 seconds, and he's got the animation down. It looks like one of their episodes.
Oh, cool.
So he did a really good job. This guy has a future in animation.
Yeah, that's neat. That's very cool. We're going to look it up here at some point.
But he's using the same Flash program that Hasbro uses. And he's just done an amazing job. It looks like an episode.
Okay, cool. We will
and
find it.
I believe it's on YouTube, so we can look that up on YouTube, too.
Uh-huh.
And I just found this out like a night ago, so I haven't looked at the episode yet.
Oh, okay. Very cool. All right, then. We will we'll look for that. We'll put it up in the show notes. The show notes and the episode are uploaded to the website some point during the week, and we broadcast on Krypton Radio Wednesday and Friday, 4 p.m. So, if you miss it, we've got it archived, or we will have it archived. We cannot wait for next week. We are squeeing our brains out here, because Capaldi is finally going to show, and I have been waiting so long.
I hope you see the trailer by now.
Yeah, there's trailers very...
They've been showing that trailer on BBC America. It's just on the web.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they've got trailers of varying lengths out there. So it's, yeah, we cannot wait. So, actually, I am out of topics. What about you?
I think I've pretty much covered everything I had
for
this week.
There you go. We're done. Yeah. I guess we'll go back and bang on Mad Woman's door. Maybe I'll go off and edit this.
Try to get her out again.
Yes, but can you please, like, herd your Lego together and gather it up and do
Lego. If I have the Corsair tilt the TARDIS sideways or at least affect the gravity, I can probably get it all shoved down back into my room.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll try that. We'll see what happens. I am the Time Siren.
And I am Tailweaver.
You are?
Yes. Well,
a brony.
My pony name is Tailweaver.
A brony. He's an awful brony, folks. Yes, traveling in time also can sometimes transform you.
I'm going to have to make pony sets for Lego and put it in the ideas program.
Yeah. We're going to work on that.
I was at a game store in Anaheim the other day. Do you know there's a My Little Pony collectible card game?
Why am I not surprised?
And there's a My Little Pony Monopoly. And instead of having the little wheelbarrow and thimbles for pieces, you have the six little ponies.
That's just too cute. And on that note, we're going to choke on our cuteness and see you next week.
Bye.
The Corsetters would like to bash CNN for... what is this? Stop this pony stuff. Awful husband, get in here and corral these ponies. Oh, no. No, they're too cute. No. Okay, breathe. Okay. The Corsetters would like to bash CNN for their lack of respect for Robin Williams' passing, thank Clockwork Couture for hosting Art of the Dardis, Will Wheaton for his legs and showing up in a kilt, Lego for keeping the awful husband off the streets, and Krypton Radio. This has been was or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsairs-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, brand new blog, and lots of ponies. No, wait a minute. No ponies. Anyway, we would really love to hear from you.